Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives. And today, we are walking through another chapter of the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich, the book, has inspired millions of people all over the world in their search for success. Napoleon Hill has been known for being one of the world's greatest millionaire makers. As he shares his secrets of success with you in this mark of a legendary book entitled Think and Grow Rich. And what we're going to do today is we're going to discuss with our special guest, Robert Hogg. We're going to discuss the chapter designed as the auto-suggestion chapter. And I'll start reading from the beginning of the chapter in the version that we have. And it basically says that auto-suggestion is a term which applies to all suggestions and self-administered stimuli which reach one's mind through five senses. Stated in another way, your auto-suggestion is self-suggestion. It is the agency of communication between that part of the mind where conscious thought takes place and that which serves as the seat of action for the subconscious mind. The dominating thought which we permit to remain in our conscious mind will reach and influence your subconscious mind. And this is described as the law of auto-suggestion. Napoleon Hill goes on to say, no thought, whether it be negative or positive, can enter the subconscious mind without the aid of the principle of auto-suggestion, with the exception of those thoughts which are picked up as flashes of insight or inspiration. And to state it differently, all sense impressions which are perceived through the five senses are captured and processed by the conscious thinking mind and may be either passed on to the subconscious mind or rejected at will. And that really is saying a mouthful. But when you think about your own subconscious mind, do you really ever separate the two? And that's what I'd like for our listening audience to ponder today. How do you work with your subconscious mind and your conscious mind to do, be, and have all that you would like to have? Now, our special guest today is Robert Hogg. Good morning, Robert. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you guys are having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's share just a little bit about you. And in your bio, it says that you're a Tennessee native, former college student athlete at Middle Tennessee State University. And I'm not sure what the free safety football means. What does that mean?
That was my position, and that's the sport I played.
Okay. All right. Well, you can tell that that's not really one of those sports I've ever participated in, and I think understand it. And you recently moved back to Miami from Nashville, yes. Tennessee. Now, what made you decide to come back to Florida?
Every time I visited Florida, I just envision myself being here one day. I just like the atmosphere. I like the culture. I really felt when I was, you know, more, once I got out of school and, you know, I'm out on my own, you know, it's a place that I really wanted to live at. So I made a decision and I prepared for it and I came down here.
Well, I want to share with our audience that Robert is one of the millions of under 40 group that's also being inspired, even in this day and age, by this historical book, Think and Grow Rich. And you said something very powerful when you basically said, you know, you imagined yourself back here. And I think that that's really the crux of the conversation today about auto-suggestion. And can you share with us, how did you imagine yourself back here?
It first started as an idea about a year ago, after I graduated, and you know, the football side of my career wasn't, you know, it wasn't panning out. So I started just imagining just different outlets of me moving, and then I had a cousin actually. He was like, you know, if that's something you want to do, just plan for it and, you know, go out there and just make it happen. You know, you don't have to wait till you have a certain amount of money or a job set up. You know, just plan for it and then go make it happen. So that was this past Thanksgiving. And so from January until May, I just saved my money, planned. I didn't really do anything. I was just so focused on moving to Miami, and there was nothing that was going to stop me. And once May came, all the work I put in from January to May, you know, I was able to, you know, transition down here.
Now, I think it's very important that we also share with the audience, when did you read this book, Think and Grow Rich?
I started reading this book like the first week of July, and so within the first 2 weeks of July, I was reading it, and I think I finished it about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago.
Okay, and the reason I asked that question is because when we first met, I was suggesting that you may want to consider reading it, but I want to encourage the audience that we've had many guests on the show that have read the book many, many, many years ago and tend to be somewhat older, but I think the book is so appropriate regardless of the age. And what I want to do before we go too much further is allow you to share with the audience a little about yourself and what motivates you and what your passion is.
What motivates me is I like to learn. I like to learn as much as possible about anything. I don't like complacency. I don't like, you know, staying the same. I don't like being mediocre. Every day I think it's an opportunity to get better at something. I know when I was playing sports, every day you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You don't stay the same. So I take a lot of my previous training in sports and put it to an everyday lifestyle because, you know, when you enter the workforce or, you know, the older you get, you become an adult, you know, you don't have somebody, you know, breathing down your neck every day telling you to, you know, do this, do that. So I take upon myself to incorporate all my training that I've had sports-wise and apply it to everyday life. And I think that's a great foundation, you know, to be successful at.
Wow. That is amazing. That is simply amazing. And what do you see next in your future regarding your passion?
I just started a job, so I just want to, you know, continue getting more experience and education in the construction field. I want to become an author, actually. I have a friend that's going to help me brainstorm on some ideas. I want to write a book about some of my past experiences, and hopefully that can help, you know, a younger athlete, you know, help him more than with advice and wisdom that I didn't have when I was growing up, and, you know, just kind of help them out, you know, younger student athletes going into college, because, you know, from high school to college is a big transition. If you're not prepared for it, you know, you might miss out on certain opportunities that, you know, that I missed out on. So that's something else I've been looking to, and I mean, I don't know what my exact title or my exact field will be, you know, but I know I have a desire to get there. I just don't overall know what that might would be, because I don't want to limit myself.
Well, I think that you just hit up on another secret in this journey that we are all on as we journey through this book, and that is Napoleon Hill tells us that really the beginning of all success really starts with a desire. And when you use that word, I don't know if that's from your you know, mental energy going back into the book, or if the Spirit is bringing it to you, but that is the beginning. So I think you're well on your way. You're well on your way. Now, I want to go back to reading another part of the book, and then we're going to get into discussing your thoughts on your favorite part of this chapter entitled Auto-Suggestion. Napoleon Hill goes on to tell us that without mixing emotion and faith with your words, you will experience no desirable results. The subconscious mind recognizes the acts only upon thoughts which have been well mixed with emotion or feeling. And the fact that this is such an important fact as to warrant repetition in practically every chapter of this book. And the truth is that the main reason why the majority of people who try to apply the laws of auto-suggestion get no real results, because they're really not applying any emotion or feeling to the statements. And he goes on to say that plain, unemotional words do not influence the subconscious mind. You will not get any appreciable results until you learn to reach your subconscious mind with thoughts or spoken words which have been well emotionalized with belief. Now, what are your thoughts about that, Robert, in terms of what he's saying about putting emotion with your feelings? And I think about your sport in particular, football. What are your thoughts on that, please?
I believe he's saying, you know, without applying any senses or emotion, you're just not going to remember it. I mean, you know, you can, like, when you hear a certain song on the radio, you can remember what time, you know, what period of time, you know, that song came out, or a particular smell, or, you know, like the smell of cut grass reminds me of a football season, or, you know, or when the wind's blowing and the leaves don't really shed out here in South Florida, but back home, you know, when leaves start, it just a certain smell, you know, it just when memory is tied to an emotion or a particular sense is more memorable. And so if you if your auto suggestion is tied to emotion, it's kind of more memorable, because you take in so much information. It's kind of hard to, you know, kind of remember it unless it's tied to a particular sense or emotion. Like, so that's why I think he's coming for it. Like, just when you have thoughts, don't just think about it. Kind of tie it to an actual emotion or something that's going to push you so you can remember it on a daily basis, because it can drive you.
Wow, that's interesting, because as soon as you started sharing about the song and the emotion, my mind started going back to the Goldies and how you can watch the emotion in people when they begin to go back in their mind and thinking about where they were when they first heard that song, or who were they with when they first heard that song, or
oh, yeah,
the memories that are brought back from that song. And that's a very, very, very good analogy. Can you think of one in particular song that takes you back?
A particular song?
You're taking too long. Let me do this. Let me go to commercial while you're thinking, and I want to bring on my mastermind buddy, Ms. Sharon Jackson, after the commercial. So give me 1 second. And I want to thank all of our callers and our listeners joining in today as we're listening to Robert Hogg. And Robert is actually a young man who has recently moved to Miami. And we're going to come right back with Robert and my mastermind buddy, Sharon Jackson. Hold on.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we are back, and today our special guest is Robert Hogg, Jr. He's a Tennessee native, former college student and athlete, recently moved to Miami from Nashville, Tennessee. He's a project engineer at TNG Constructors, and he has a general interest in learning something new every day. And I do believe that the book Think and Grow Rich has helped him on that journey. But we want to also welcome to the show this morning my very special friend and mastermind buddy from Palm Beach Life Planners, Sharon Jackson. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Ann. This is a great day and a great subject.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're talking about auto-suggestion, and Robert was just taking a moment to remember a song that emits certain emotions in him when he hears it. Do you remember that song yet, Robert?
Yes, I will go with Notorious B.I.G. I remember, I love it when they call me Big Pop. I remember it came out in 96. I was only 6 at the time, but I remember what was going on, and it just bring back, you know, just at a good period in the mid-90s. And I mean, it's countless other songs that I know, and it just bring you back to that certain time in your life. And when you tie your thoughts to your memory like that, you know, I mean, I think a lot is possible.
Yeah, if we're talking about the fact that when you mix emotion and faith with your words, you will get desirable results. And Sharon, I know you're just joining us, but is there anything you would like to chime in on as we're discussing the subject?
I guess when you talk about emotion covers a lot of different types of feeling. And we are more specific. A lot of times it's related to the emotion related to hope. It's related to the emotion of emotions of love. And a lot of songs, when you remember, you know, mine is and I was very young when this came out, it's Smokey Robinson, Ooh Baby. And that was, you know, the emotion related to love, you know, how deep the love was. And so, you know, it's when you look at hope, when you look at auto-suggestion, you're usually using auto-suggestion, auto-suggestion is very powerful. And it could be related to an angry emotion. And so it's really important. Your mind doesn't discern whether good or bad. So it's important when you think in terms of auto-emotion, auto-suggestion, the emotion that you're attaching to what it is that you're trying to achieve, whether it's good or it's bad. So your emotion that you attach to it, whether it be love, then you think in terms of those things about what you love and you go for it. And it's hope, auto-suggestion. You know, you hope and you can cling to those things. And I guess I never really thought until just now in thinking about how people are angry and the auto-suggestion when you bring up a person's name and they bring up a thought, you know, the anger, you know, and that drives people. Anger drives people. So, you know, it's important when you attach an emotion to something that you think, do I really want to attach this emotion because it's going to drive me down a specific path? So we'll leave that alone there.
Yes, that's a good place because when you said that, I had to check myself. What about you, Robert?
yes, I have too.
All right. I'm getting some feedback in the line. I'm not sure if either one of you might be on speaker, but I'm getting feedback. Let me go ahead and continue to read. Napoleon Hill goes on to say that when you began to carry out the instructions in connection with the six steps of desire, you really want to make use of the principle of concentration when we talk about the auto-suggestion. And he goes on to tell us that you can actually see the physical appearance of money when you use your auto-suggestion in your statements that you create, and you repeat those statements twice daily, once in the morning when you arise, and then once in the evening when you retire. And the faith, like Sharon talked about, and just imagining what you want that emotion to be, is a very large part of auto-suggestion. And just, you know, how do you do it? How do you use it? What does it look like? And for each of you, Sharon and Robert, when you think about auto-suggestion in your life, how do you demonstrate auto-suggestion? And if you can give us an example of that, Robert.
An example is when you wake up, you have to wake up with a plan. You have to wake up of your process of how you're going to attack this new day. First, you know, each step of say you need to go get into work or to a meeting or, you know, everything in between. So if you visualize already what your plan is to do, the reality of it should be, you know, similar besides the things you can't control. I mean, everything you can control, you know, that's your plan. So I believe, you know, that's how you can use that on an everyday of life.
And Sharon, what about you? What does that auto-suggestion look like for you? I know we, as a part of our mastermind group, we, you know, there are some activities that we do, but what does that look like in your life on a daily basis, Sharon?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you say, what does that look like? Because that's, you know, it's important because it tells people the specifics of how you function. And I tell you the story about writing down scriptures, writing down sayings, writing down and keeping with me things that are important that keeps my mind related to where I need to go. So that when I get up in the morning, when I say my prayers, when I do my meditations, I meditate on my scriptures or on my sayings, or I read a paragraph or a couple of pages from a book that I need to keep me focused. And during the day, it's important because you have to stay focused and you have to be thinking in terms, because those things, negative things, things that knock you off course will sometimes on purpose do it just to test and you think, oh, no, this is it. And you either pull it out of your pocket, this is my scripture, or you say it. Nope, this is my thought. You know, I don't operate with that spirit of fear. I operate with love, power, and soundness of mind. That's it. That's it. That's all. And so, and then when you go to bed, you go to bed and you think, or you read your chapter again. You read your scripture you're saying, or you listen to a sermon. You listen to a audio tape, or you listen to a song or music that takes you to that place that you need to be, so that your mind is resting in the thought during the night. So it's continually having your mind in place. It's not hard. It just takes discipline, you know. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's just one of those things that you do with consistency. Remember, it says auto, something that you do continuously.
Automatically.
It kicks in. Right. It kicks in when a situation comes in to try and knock you out of your place. You automatically go to your place.
Well, Sharon, you're speaking with such conviction and such emotion. I think we may want to reconsider what's behind that. But before we do that, Robert, I want to come back to you and ask if you would share with us your favorite portion of this chapter.
Okay. I might have to piggyback on what Sharon said and what you guys are saying.
Please do. And just like what Sharon did, she was going to a place of, like I said, conviction and emotion, like the book talked about as she was sharing. What does it look like? And you could feel it. So thank you for that, Sharon. But go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it's my favorite part is, you know, when you know, negativity and fear and doubt and things that just put barriers in your journey. You know, when you meet those, the auto-suggestion kicks in and was like, I can beat this. I can defeat this. You know, it's not going to get me off my course. It's not going to get me off my plan or my journey. So that's my favorite part. It's all about developing your mind to be strong and sound. And, you know, you control what you let into it. You can control, your mind is something that you can control. I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, actually control their minds. You know, somebody else controls their minds, or their mind is still immature. So I think the auto-suggestion part is very, you know, very important. And I think it might be one of the most important parts of the whole book, because it's something you deal with every second of every day. You know, it's not something, you know, you can put off to the next day, because something foreign could have been led into your mind and could have got you off your path of, you know, success. And that's definitely the just focus of sound mind every second is what I took out of, you know, chapter 4, auto-suggestion.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, Sharon, do you have a particular special? I'm sorry.
This is going to take us. I'm sorry. I'm talking over you, and you're talking very softly. So I apologize for talking over you. But when you said, "Is there a something that is my favorite place?" It's an auto suggestion. It says, do not become discouraged if you cannot control and direct your emotions the first time you try to do so. Remember, there is no such possibility as something for nothing. The ability to reach and influence your subconscious mind has its price, and you must pay that price. You cannot cheat, even if you desire to do so. The price of ability to influence your subconscious mind is everlasting persistence in applying the principles described here. You cannot develop the desired ability for a lower price. You and you alone must decide whether or not the reward for which you are striving, money conscious, is worth the price. You must pay for it in effort. And I guess that is, that's jumping a couple of pages, but that's one of my, that is one of my favorite sections because it puts it all in focus. It put it in focus for me over and over and over again in my over my life's career, but it put it particularly in focus for me now since I have had to deal with a lot of children who want things for nothing and whose parents give them give, and they expect their children to achieve for nothing but give it back to me. I remember I grew up at a time where you had older people that were continually speaking into your life. And they would say, hey, you can continue that if you want to, but if you do, you're going to be like that old man down on homeless. And they would paint these horrible pictures in your life. If you didn't go to school, they would put fear. They would drive you because of fear. Horrible stuff. You're going to be homeless if you don't go to school. You're going to be not making any money if you don't go to school. You're going to be a lazy bum if you're going to go to school. You see, that guy is an alcoholic. He didn't go to school. And so they drove you with fear, okay? It was, but they thought that they were doing a good thing. They thought they were doing a good thing. And so, yeah, you go to school. And, yeah, you do this and you do that. But it's being driven out of fear, not necessarily the desire to achieve. Not necessarily out of desire of loving, achieving something out of love, all right? It's about getting a job. It's about getting a middle-class, white-collar job, not even one that you desire. So then when you finally get there, and in my case, it was a job that was dominated by white males. And I'm not going to say that all white males are bad. I'm just saying it's usually dominated by males. I'll just leave it there. That naturally in construction, you're going after and you have to make the dollar, regardless that your job is making the dollar, making it fit, making things happen on time because time is money and they're going to get it regardless. And so here you're standing, a small frame black woman, and they're thinking I'm going to run over her and get what I need and what
Sharon, do you listen to Robert Shimon? Because I think, though, that it's not limited to black women, and Robert may have his own experience as it relates to a African-American male. But before we do either of those, let's take another commercial break. And then we'll come back and we'll pick up Napoleon Hill chapter on auto-suggestion, discussing with our special guest today, Robert Hall, Jr. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back. And we're back talking today with our special guest, Robert Hogg Jr. And Robert is a project engineer at TNG Constructors, and he is also our new co-chair of the Miami-Dade Chamber Construction Committee. Good morning again, Robert, and thank you for joining us, and thank you, Sharon, my co-host for today, for joining. And we were talking about Thinking Grow Rich Auto Suggestion, and Sharon was sharing some experiences that she has had in the construction industry, and we'd like to come to you and have you share with us as it relates to auto suggestion and how do you manage any kind of extenuating circumstances, I would say, in this construction industry and your job. And I know you're new to this also, so I want to make sure our listening audience know that you are one of the under 40 that is okay. excited about the book Thinking Grow Rich. But what is some experiences that you've had you'd like to share?
Some experiences is, I mean, dating back from undergrad, you know, I used to be either the only or maybe me and another student, the only one of color, you know, in classrooms. So from there in undergrad, I knew if my fellow students are not, you know, of any color or any minorities, more likely the job force won't be like that. So I started to prepare myself mentally that, you know, this is the route that I was taking. And, you know, I was okay with it. And so after finishing undergrad and going to the, you know, the workforce, I started to have more and more interviews. And then the interview process probably taught me more than anything, because interviews, you have to sell yourself. And you kind of have to, you know, you want to connect with the owner or somebody who's interviewing you. You know, either if it's a phone call interview or in person or a video call, you know, you have to sell yourself. And in majority of the bigger companies, you know, those are, you know, like Sharon was saying, more of the white collar, you know, environment. And if you're not used to that, you know, it's kind of tough, because you can't relate, you can't make a connection. I've always been told in the interview process, to make it be a regular conversation between you and the interviewee. You know, that's the best thing to do. Just have a regular conversation, connect on something, sports, kids, hobby, you know, something that, you know, would take the tension out the room. And as I was interviewing for positions, one, I was also, you know, a little bit less qualified because of experience, because, you know, in the construction field, you know, experience is really everything. You know, it's not more. I mean, most companies will want somebody who's more experienced than, let's say, have a degree. Even though in the long run, I think the degree will probably benefit you more. But just at that current moment, you know, the experience is what they're looking for. So I had those kind of two against me. So I had to find ways to, you know, get more and more experience, but at the same time, you know, nobody was giving me an opportunity because of that, and it gets tough. And so I was using auto suggestion at that time, and this is before I even read this book. And but I knew what I wanted, and I had a purpose, and I had a plan. And I've been turned down by and rejected by numerous companies. And at the moment, I used to feel down. Some of them gave me false hope, like, yeah, you know, we like what we're hearing, and, you know, we really want to give you this opportunity. And then I get a letter in the mail talking about you're not qualified, even though in person everything went well. And looking back on it, I needed that compared to just, you know, getting something for nothing. Because if I got something for nothing, I wouldn't have valued it. I wouldn't have valued that job. I wouldn't have valued the money I would have received. And now I've since been dragged through the mud. I mean, not that much, but when you get rejected and turned down so many times, you can either think this is not for you and the fear would take over and you'd be like, you know, maybe I should do something else, or going through that will make you a better person, or, you know, it just, the perseverance of that will help you. So,
but what do you think the future looks like if you utilize the principles of this book and auto suggestion in terms of the same emotion and feelings that you have for the construction industry. How would you use this chapter and these suggestions to handle that?
I think there's not a particular limit. I mean, with this chapter, a lot of stuff that I think hasn't even been invented or created is possible. Because if you're driven on such a path, or if I get to a certain point where I see in the industry, particular construction, that that is lacking, or something that I feel like that can enhance it, it gives multiple places where you can kind of mold yourself or kind of mold a particular job field. I mean, everything that you need might not even be created. And with auto suggestion, you're trying to find your path. You're so focused. You're locked in, and a lot of entrepreneur and invention and innovative, a lot of ideas can arrive out of this in a particular workforce. I mean, you don't really have to just go and do what your boss says. You can make whatever your boss is asking, you can make his job easier. And in a sense, you're learning from that. So if you do own your own company one day, or a consultant, you've had that experience. You learn from that. So, you can make other companies save on money or make their schedules, more on time. So, that's why I look at it in the future, in the long run. It gives lots of flexibility, because your auto suggestion is you're so focused on a particular path.
Thank you for that, Robert. Sharon, do you have any questions for Robert, please?
Oh, no. I think he covered it very well.
Now, Robert, share with us, what does the future look like for you in terms of, and again, I keep going back to under 40, because most of the people we have on the show, we have youth, but the area and the space that you operate in is a very up-and-coming place, and there's a lot of energy. Sharon and I have talked, maybe a year or two ago, about the fact that at this point in our lives, we're able to see the trends that's happening with our age, right, Sharon? When we go to interview for jobs or contracts, and you're talking to people who have your age, like Robert Hogg, and just the different mindset shift that we all have to have, because people his age now are talking to people and interviewing people and supervising people the age of his parents. And when you look at the principles of this book, and I like to bring a lot of the conversation back to the book, because I think what Pauline Hill does in many of the chapters of the book is it helps us to understand the processes and systems that we need to implement in our lives to really think and grow rich, but not just dealing with money, but with having a better quality of life. And Rob, I just want to just have you chime in and share with us your thoughts on just having to operate with people who may be twice your age. Sometimes they're over you, and sometimes you're over them. What are your thoughts about that?
Me personally, I try to connect with everybody I meet. Once so I can remember them, their name. I try to every conversation with every employee, I try to take something away from them so they can feel special. Because if you make somebody feel special, it's just a different conversation you can have. It's more, like Sharon says, more about love, and it's more friendly. I mean, nobody really wants to be around somebody, you don't know what to say to them, but you want to speak to them. You want to be at least nice and polite, but, you don't know what to say. I can't be like, yeah, did you see that that new album came out by the latest artist. I mean, they're not going to know that. But then they can't tell me, speak to me about something that, you know, about their age. So for me, I just try to learn something about them, something mutual, just, you know, because they have a lot of advice for me because they've already been in their 20s. They're probably in their 40s or 50s. And I have some advice, you know, people who are doing young to, you know, stay in good shape and or different ways you can eat it. But for me, it's taking time out of my day to, you know, that little amount of time to learn something about them. You know, if it's kids, hobbies, most people love talking about their kids. I don't have kids and I'm not married yet. But when I do get to that point, I'm going to love talking about my family. So I can always, you know, how's such and such doing? How's school or how's your wife doing? And me taking that extra step is kind of bridging that age gap of 20 or 30 years of kind of learning something about them. And vice versa, hopefully they'll do the same with me. And in a sense, it's kind of a network. It will, you know, say their kids need or is playing sports and they just need some advice from me, or say I need some help with you know, owning my first house. I mean, they can always help me with that. So you have to be able to jump out of your actual age and your actual, you know, your mindset and kind of, you know, pick their brain in a sense of you know, to bridge the gap. I mean, it's kind of complicated, but, you know, with But it's possible, though. I mean, you just have to, you know, it's people skills. It's nice social skills. You know, you can do it in the mall walking around. You know, you can be friendly or, I mean, it can help out, especially in the workforce.
Now, we talked about the auto-suggestion and imagining what we want. You mentioned about not getting married. So are you imagining and using your auto-suggestion on a future mate?
You say I'm not getting married.
No, I say you say you're not married.
Oh, I'm not married. Oh, do I use auto suggestion for a particular mate?
Absolutely. What do you think, Sharon? Don't you think you should share with the listening audience in the world? You might get some callers. As a matter of fact, why don't you give everybody your phone number in case they may have some people listening?
I don't know about all that. I mean, it's a lot of people out in the world, and I can't just have anybody calling my number. I mean, I'm not famous or anything, but I do like my privacy.
I tell you what, this is not a dating service, but I tell you what, if you give the criteria on the air, and you just never know what may happen. Sharon,
true,
help me out here. Sharon Jackson. Help me out, Sharon.
No,
Honey,
I think what she's trying to say is, no, she doesn't want you to give your number out to just any kind of person. But again, getting back to auto-suggestion, it's the idea of calling that person to you that you truly desire. And you're muting all those things that you don't. When you decide the perfect person, and you, it's like anything else, when you match it with desire, when you match it with love, and you say, this is the woman that completes me. I am a complete person, but this is the person, this will be the type of person that will take me to the next level. And so it's like anything else. You're mixing that auto-suggestion with desire, and it's calling that person out of your future into your present. And you will know when you see her, because you have already designed her. There's so many people, there's so many people out there that have so many things, that have created so many facades, but you will see her because you have created her in your mind and in your emotion. You already know who she is in the deep, deep, deep parts of you.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Auto-suggestion is related to everything in your life. It can be. And I think that's, at least that's where I took Anne as to where she was going.
I could not have said it any better, Sharon Jackson.
Well said.
Okay, we're still listening, Robert.
For auto suggestion in a particular, like a woman? Like, I'm trying to grasp, like, what are you asking?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking you. Yes. What are the qualities of the woman you're looking for as you use your auto suggestion to attract her to you?
Okay, So like Sharon said, somebody who my other equal, she balances me out. So, somebody I can learn from. Let me see what else qualities. So, just a best friend. I mean, I don't have a particular. I don't like to narrow it down to, you know, anything. I mean, I'm open to really about anything. I'm in a stage now where, you know. I know what I've had in the past, but I know what I'm attracted to in the future. I'm attracted more to the mind, because you won't always have your same mind. Physical qualities, kind of over time, you know, they're going to they'll go away as you age. Or I mean, you know, you're not gonna look the same in your 20s and your 40s. I mean, some people are blessed enough, but you know, others might not. But I mean, that's. I don't really like to limit myself. I like to learn from, and I like to experience all kinds of new things. I mean, I'm out in Miami now, so it's lots of cultures. It's very diverse, and you know, this is something I've never experienced, especially with the Spanish community down here, and also you got a lot of tourists down here. Then you have a lot of islanders, you know. So, if somebody makes me better every day and That's a very attractive quality. If you can make me better every day, and I can learn from something, and vice versa, I'll do the same on my end. You know, I'm gonna uphold my end of the bargain.
All right. Well, I think for anybody and everybody who's listening, if you know anybody like that, tune in. Robert doesn't want to give you his phone number, but I'll give you mine. I can reach him for you. So can I do your friend? I'll consult with Sharon Jackson, and we'll help a brother out. Now, you have to say this. We're laughing, and Sharon and I have had this, you know, been with the same different people, not the same person, for what, Sharon, over 30 years maybe? At least go for 30 years. Would you say, Sharon?
Wow.
Sharon? She's taking a Fifth Amendment.
Her's on mute. Yes.
Yes. Okay, her answer is yes. And so, Robert, we are both old enough to be your mom, and for the listening world to know that Thinking World Rich does have benefits. And one of the benefits is that time brings a lot of things. And one of my favorite authors, as a matter of fact, Charlie Tremendous Jones, in his book Life is Tremendous, he said that we will be the same in 5 years as we are today, except for two things: the books we read and the people we meet. The books we read and the people we meet. And when you talk about meeting people who you're going to live with for the rest of your life, it's not a joke. And although we're laughing and we're having a good time, it is one of the most important decisions, Robert, that you will ever make in your life. And so because of that, we really want to, as we prepare to close the show, we want to close it on a very positive note, and we want to encourage you to really get a pen and a pad, draw a line down the side, and on one side of that pad, write what you're looking for. You're not sharing it with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you. And then write the things that you really will not tolerate and you really don't want to see in a mate. And as you begin to write that list, because this chapter is about auto-suggestion and as a part of the demonstration of auto-suggestion in our lives, we all write an affirmation statement. And whether you read it every day or every night or whether you read it once a week, but for the mere fact that you put pen to paper and you write this down, and Sharon gave you an excellent example of the impact that person will have it will really, really, really determine your future. And so we think about the fact that most people spend more time planning a vacation than they do planning the rest of their life and their future. And so consider the same is true for a mate. Most people go out on dates with people that they would never marry. 10 years later, you're still dating the same person, not realizing that maybe you should have never gone out with that person the first time because you knew it was not the person that you wanted to attract in your life. So we attract things and we attract people, and we never really focus on detracting them, if you know what I mean. So as we prepare to close the show, Sharon, if you have any closing thoughts, Robert, if you have any closing thoughts, we're going to take your thoughts, and then we're going to go to a final commercial, and we're going to wrap up. And want to thank you so much, Robert. I hope you enjoyed the show. We had a lot of conversation, but it is really a very, very encouraging to have a conversation with somebody under 40 that have read the book in a matter of a couple of weeks and have enjoyed it. I'm going to encourage you, and I think Sharon would support this too, but to reread it, and also continue to join us every Saturday on this Blog Talk Radio show as we have different guests coming on talking about the book. But do you have any closing? Yeah, Sharon, let's go with you first, and then we'll go with Robert to see if he has any closing comments.
I think when Anne said to reread, the importance of doing that is that every time you read, you mature. You've had a new experience, and more revelation opens up to you. I read the book 4 times, and after the 2nd time, I started using different colors of highlighter because that lets me know where new revelation has changed my thought as I came to understand what the author was saying. And it's really important that you get the basics. If you don't get the basics down, there's a lot of, more than ever, and I'll try to say this quickly, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of things that will divert your path. So it's important for you to write down what your needs are and where you go. Over time, as you mature, it will change, and you will change your list. But that's the reason why I think she was also telling you to design the woman that you are going to love forever. And remember, marriage is not based on an emotion. It is based on designing a life, something that you can wake up and look at that person and still say, oh, my gosh, I made such a right decision, other than waking up and thinking, oh, my God, who is that and why is she here? So I think it is designing your partner. So that through the confusion and the minutia, you know exactly who she is when you see her.
Okay.
Wow, Robert, I'm just sharing, you're just awesome, and I'm speechless. All I have to say about that is I'm happily married to my boyfriend, and I really do thank God for him every single day. So we have about 90 seconds to wrap the show. Any comments?
My closing comments is thank you guys for having me on the show. I took away, you know, more of the stuff than I thought I was actually going to gain from I really didn't know what I was getting myself into when Ann invited me on here. So I'm actually, you know, on my iPad creating a list right now as we talk. So I really do appreciate you guys' comments. You guys know twice, maybe 3 times as much as I know, and I will continue to be on the calls as much as I'm able to, and try to learn as much as possible from you guys' experiences. And thank you so much,
and everybody have a great day, and we'll see you next Saturday. All right, thank you.
All right, bye.